I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. For cash-strapped seniors, the promise can seem particularly sweet. Turn home equity into spendable cash. But reverse mortgages have left some older Americans facing foreclosure. Homes they've lived in for 30, 40, 50 years at risk. We want to look at that. You can join us. Have you taken out a reverse mortgage? How has that worked out for you? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. They advertise heavily, and we've all heard it over the years. Here's one you've probably seen sooner or later. Former U.S. Republican senator from Tennessee, presidential hopeful one time, Fred Thompson, in a commercial for reverse mortgage.
Hi, I'm Fred Thompson. And you know, if you're like a lot of folks out there lately, then finances might be a little tight. Well, maybe it doesn't have to be that way. Because if you're 62 years or older and own your own home, then join hundreds of thousands of other Americans who have used a reverse mortgage as a safe, effective financial tool.
Hey, these ads all over the place. Here's actor Henry Winkler. Same theme. Here you go.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler, and I'm here to tell homeowners that are 62 and older about a great way to live a better retirement. It's called a reverse mortgage.
Gosh, it's great. It's fantastic. Here's actor Tom Selleck selling.
I know what you're thinking. I thought what you thought. Some things are just too good to be true.
Okay, what about it? Joining me now is Jennifer McKim, senior investigative reporter for the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. She's been covering the way reverse mortgages put some seniors at risk for foreclosure. Jennifer, welcome to On Point.
Hello.
So we see these ads all over the place. They wouldn't be there if they weren't putting out a lot of these mortgages. I mean, these must have pretty wide use. I've never really looked into them, but a lot of people must take them.
Well, exactly. There is a large problem among seniors who've ended up putting money into their homes for decades, but finding themselves with no cash to spend on other expenses. So they decide, they see these great ads on television that this is going to answer all their problems, and they grab them.
How does a reverse mortgage work?
It's so complicated, and I think that's one of the problems. But basically, in general, unlike a traditional forward mortgage where you're borrowing money from a lender to buy your home, this is instead you're borrowing equity from the house that you've built up over years that you have to pay later, either when you die, move out, or fail to meet some of the requirements of the loan.
So give me an example. Let's say I've got a house and it's now worth $200,000 and I need some cash.
So you're 62 years or older. Okay. You can qualify for one of these loans. Now, unlike a couple of years ago, they're going to do a financial assessment to see if you can afford it. But before, it was like back in the old days, if you could fog a mirror, you could get one of these loans.
Fog a mirror, you can get the loan.
And basically, you can get about, depending on your age, about half of the equity of your home. You can either get it in a lump sum, a home equity loan, or monthly installments. So for cash-strapped seniors, it can be a real answer to people who maybe even they have a little bit of mortgage they want to pay off. They can take the equity out, pay the mortgage off, and have a little cash extra.
But then I'm going to have less equity in that home unless I've paid it off. But I mean, when you got the reverse mortgage, at some point they want.
Yeah, the idea is basically these are for people who want to age in place. These are people who maybe don't have heirs and maybe just don't mind not having equity at the end when they die.
Yeah.
So basically at the end, if you die or move out, there's an accounting of how much money you've taken out of your home. And it builds up pretty quickly because it interests, fees, et cetera, that you might borrow 50% of your home's equity, and by the end, there's nothing left.
So you're saying for some people, this works out well. They need the cash. This is a way to have it. They don't mind if they don't leave a home to somebody later.
Yep. I've heard from some people, from some of my stories, who say this was a godsend. I could have not lived in my home any other way, and I needed this to be able to stay here. And that was why the U.S. HUD decided to give this program, because there were people who needed it, and they believe in it, and that's why it's being funded partly by taxpayers. It's insured by the government.
Oh, I didn't realize that. All right, so there's a kind of a subsidy here as well. So when it goes well, great. You've also looked at circumstances in which it does not. What have you found?
Correct. So the thing is that when you heard all those ads from Tom Selleck and Fred Thompson, they used to really be, they used to sell it as no risk. You'll still own your home. This is a great option. But the problem is that some elders and advocates say they misunderstood this to think that they had no monthly payments at all. But still, indeed, they did have to pay property taxes and insurance and maintain their homes and things. And years later, they realized that they weren't paying these things. And then they were getting foreclosure notices. So people who thought that they could die in their homes, 90-year-old people, suddenly being told that they had to leave because they owed as little as a couple hundred dollars in taxes that they hadn't paid, and the lender paid, and then this whole foreclosure process happened. And really, people have heard this over and over around the country, that more and more people like this are calling confused that they're poised to lose their properties.
How does it happen that they don't know what they're signing up for here? I mean,
well, exactly. I mean, a lot of people say, of course you know that you should pay your taxes and insurance. But as we all know, a lot of people during the during the housing crisis signed documents that maybe they didn't completely understand. And a lot of these elders had already paid off their mortgages or had been paying mortgages where it was paid in escrow. So when it came then, they said they didn't know. Others just said, you know what, they got lump sums at the beginning and they didn't have any money left. And at that point, they weren't doing any type of financial assessments. HUD, realizing this was a problem in 2015, implemented new financial assessments so that now they look at you and say, can you afford to pay the taxes and insurance over time so we don't end up with this problem? But there's a huge problem from the people before then, this sort of looming crisis of elderly people who bought the properties before these changes.
So HUD, the Housing and Urban Development Department, is actually screening every American application for a reverse mortgage now to say to see whether you can afford to go down this path or not?
Well, they set the regulations. They find, they insure them, and they implement all these rules that they give to the originators and the lenders about what to do with these loans. And this was one of the things they changed because they saw this growth in foreclosures among old people, which nobody really, it looks terrible for everybody when you're foreclosing on grandma.
Give us a story that may help us understand how this has played out when it has not played out well. I'm sure you've spoken with people who went found themselves on that path.
Exactly. So I spoke with a woman in Washington, D.C. She's 92 years old. She bought a she got signed up for a reverse mortgage 10 years ago because she needed some money. She refinanced it again, and then she ended up having troubles within her own home with being able to pay off some bills. She had financial issues with some family members, and she ended up having a $6,000 tax and insurance payment that she couldn't pay. And the lender said, we're going to foreclose upon you because you owe this $6,000, even though she signed this deal to hope that she would live there forever. And so it was very stressful. I talked to this woman multiple times. She's 92 years old, lived there forever. Her church is nearby, and facing foreclosure for her was just the scariest thing she could possibly think about.
I mean, if you get into that situation when you're 92 or 82, or you, once you don't have an income that's growing with the rest of the economy, maybe you have a very limited retirement funds, any bill that comes in can be quite a sort of a deal breaker.
Exactly. No, these people, that's the whole reason they got into these loans, is they didn't have money. That's why they took the equity out of their properties, and then they really have no other options. And so that's the sort of heartbreaking thing, I think, for a lot of housing advocates, people around the country who said they're hearing from more and more spikes in these old people coming in and saying, I don't know what to do. And some of these, some of the servicers of these loans have been known to be more aggressive pushing people out, and that some foreclosure proceedings have started with very little amounts of money owed. So that's the concern.
We've got callers on reverse mortgages from Omaha, Nebraska. Deborah's calling. Hi, Deborah. You're on the air with Jennifer McKim.
Hi, Tom and Jennifer. Thanks so much for taking my call. Long-time listener. We had a very unpleasant experience when my 90-year-old mother-in-law died about 2 years ago. She had a reverse mortgage. She had used about $30,000 on a house that was valued at about $150,000 when she died.
Yep.
And what shocked us was how aggressive Wells Fargo was at trying to get their money. We were getting letters within a week of her death, and pretty much got them weekly or you know, every 2 weeks, even though we have at least 90, and maybe there might have been 180 days to sell the house and settle the loan, which worked out fine. We got it sold in plenty of time, but it was so offensive just how aggressive they were about closing that loan to that $30,000.
So, Deborah, did you see this coming? Did you understand all the way along that when death finally came here, settling all this would mean selling the home. And what surprised you was just how fast they were demanding that it be done?
Yes, we absolutely understood that. She had cancer, and it was rather sudden. She had a cancer surgery, died within 2 weeks. So it wasn't like we had a long time. We weren't anticipating her death at the time by any means. So, yes, it was mostly they were just so heavy-handed about it. We were just really, really irritated.
Yeah, that's not when you want to be dealing with that. And yet the hammer would come down there. Deborah, thanks for your call. Jennifer, that's when you would sort of, the rubber meets the road. All right, you took the reverse mortgage. Now, you know, cover it.
I've heard that a lot from people who say things like also that they're seeing real estate agents circling around their house. They're getting all these extra fees, too, for appraisals on their property before they're even, you know, twice and three times a month. So there was actually a suit filed with that because they were saying they were charging these folks, adding more and more cost to their bill by the end of the time.
I mean, the time requirement there, because people are settling estates, it's a time when you're not necessarily in a situation to be really quick.
Exactly. I can't remember exactly what the time period is, but I've definitely heard that there are, again, some lenders who are very aggressive on this, and it could be heartbreaking.
George in Canton, Ohio. George, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have a quick question for your panelists.
Mm-hmm.
My situation is that my home had started into the foreclosure process,
okay,
in that the original bank had written it off. I was able to stop that process, though, by catching up with payments.
Good for you.
With help from a relative.
Yeah.
But my question is, does a home like that qualify for this type of mortgage or not?
Well, if you have equity in your property, I think that is the big question. If you have equity in your property and now it is tougher to get these loans than it was before, so they're going to look to see if you can take equity out and still have the money to pay over the time of your expected lifespan to pay your property taxes and insurance.
So it's all about the equity you've got in there. If it's been, you know, teetering on that foreclosure line, I don't know how much is going to be there. I'd look very carefully at that, George. We're looking at reverse mortgages, how they work, and for some people, how they bite. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. What about the volume of these things? After all the advertising that we've seen for this, is this growing in popularity? Is it declining? You say they've become tougher in terms of who they're willing to give these to.
So during the housing boom, reverse mortgages also started to increase, and there was a lot of push among lenders and originators to promote these things. And then they started to drop again over the last couple of years. So the numbers are going down. And there's also been some changes within HUD that looks like it's going to be harder, less money. Elders will be getting less money out of them and maybe paying more in premium. So that was just a change that happened about a month ago, basically because HUD was saying, listen, we're losing money on this program and we can't afford to do it. So now it's questionable. At the same time, there's this huge market of seniors who can't afford to live in their properties.
And desperate to stay there very often, looking
Correct.
For options. Julie in Baltimore. Julie, thank you for calling. You're on with Jennifer McKim.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Hi.
My comment is several years ago, well, my house was paid off. Several years ago, I looked into a reverse mortgage just to have a little extra money.
Yeah.
And I had got a chart on what the payback would be.
Mm-hmm.
And in less than 5 years, payback for a reverse mortgage would have been double what my house was valued at. And, I mean, there's no way it could have ever been paid because the house wouldn't sell for that.
Wow. Are you following, Jennifer?
So are you saying that within 5 years you would have eaten up all the equity in your property?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, there is definitely concern among people I've talked to who have gotten these things that have been really surprised at how quickly the debt increases. And closing costs are more expensive than a regular traditional mortgage. And you also have to pay an insurance fee to the federal government to be in the program. So there are a lot of expenses. A lot of times it's for people who just, you know, they're not worried about that because in the end they're just going to walk away.
I mean, I don't know if you've looked into the finances of this, but is it a racket? Are the fees and the return that go to the reverse mortgage companies reasonable? Because they've got people who may be desperate here. They're aging. They're desperate to age in place or have somewhere to live. It seems like a situation ripe for exploitation.
Well, there's definitely been a lot of that, and there's been a lot of lawsuits and federal claims, issues that there was lying to elders. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has been very involved in the reverse mortgage issue over the last couple of years, basically dinging a bunch of originators for deceiving elders to think that they would not lose their home. So there's definitely, and there's been people who've promised them things that wouldn't happen. There's also been this issue called widow foreclosures, where spouses will buy, who've lived together forever, decide to only put one of them on this mortgage, and they were encouraged back in the day to put the oldest person on the mortgage because then they would get more equity out of the property because they were older. Okay. And then the older person dies, and then the other person would be kicked out of the property. And that caused lawsuits and problems, and HUD has tried to fix the issue with the widows. But there are still problems, and there's still a lot of widows who say, I'm being forced out.
If somebody's out there right now, and they've been thinking about doing this because they need the cash, what's your advice on how to step forward with it?
Well,
or to do it at all.
I think the advice is to really research it and really think if it's right for you and see if, talk to, there are required counseling with these things now. In Massachusetts, it has to be face-to-face because there are so many people who say they misunderstood it or weren't prepared
with
for
a financial
what happened.
Planner or who's doing this counseling?
Well, there's nonprofit agencies who get on the phone and talk to you to see if it's a right thing for you. Because again, you have to think that at the end, you're really probably not going to have anything left for your heirs, and you should probably talk to them. I think there's
but if you play it wrong, you may end up without a house for yourself as well, and at an age where that is going to be very, very unsettling.
Well, exactly, but at the same time, there are some people who might, without have taken this money out, might not have been able to stay there anyway.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's sort of the deal they're having to make.
Buyer beware when it comes to the reverse mortgage front. Get some good counseling on your personal financial situation and be fully aware of the costs that are going to come along with this. Jennifer McKim has been looking into it all for the New England Center for Investigative Reporting. She's senior investigative reporter there. Jennifer, thank you very much for coming in and sharing with us today.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer McKim. Listeners, you can continue this conversation. Get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And thanks, as always, for all your contributions to this show. Great to have you with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.